Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
Live from the Ridge at Castle Pines, site of today's stop on Michelob Ultra's Fan Golf Tour, presented by Superbook Sports and the GC Lounge. Here's Brandon Stokely and DenverFan.com's James Merrilack.
Stoke, earlier in the show, we mentioned the breaking news that is coming out about the NFL's new protocol, COVID protocols this year. Tom Pelissero had it first, that the league has informed clubs that if they cannot reschedule a game during the 18-week season in 2021 due to a COVID outbreak among unvaccinated players, the team with the outbreak will forfeit and be credited with a loss for playoff seating. So okay. It's no more of this moving it around and, hey, we're going to move the Dolphins game from week 11 to week 8 and move the Charger game from here to there and we're going to skip your bye week. It's nope, none of that nonsense. If it's due to unvaccinated players, you just forfeit. The other team gets a win. You get a loss. And everybody moves on to the last week. Or the next week. What are your initial thoughts of this? What kind of jumps to mind?
Love it. Look, you have a chance to get vaccinated and to kind of not have this pop up. If you still test positive and you're vaccinated, you have to be asymptomatic to return after two negative tests after 24 hours apart with those tests. So, you can help yourself out in this situation a great deal. Now, if you don't want to, you don't want to. But there's consequences here. You can't just make exceptions for certain teams and not certain teams. Once you start moving things around, it can be chaotic. So let everybody know the deal. This is the deal.
Yep.
This is the playing field right here. And, if you have a huge outbreak on your team, guess what? It's just going to be an L. You're going to have to forfeit. These are the rules. Okay, we know the rules that we're playing by. You don't want to get vaccinated. Now, you could have to forfeit a game if your team is undermanned and has an outbreak. I am perfectly fine with it. Everybody knows what's in play here and what's at stake.
Yeah, I'm fine with it as well. There is a bit of it that sort of feels like you're forcing players to get the vaccine without saying you're forcing them to get it. I get that argument. But we could come up with 100 examples of things in life where, it's not, the rule and you're going to go to jail if you don't do it, but we're all kind of nudged in that direction, right?
Right.
And you have to do it for your job or whatever the case may be. Nobody's being forced to do it. It's just if you're going to take that risk, the risk is on you, and the risk is on you letting down your team and forcing your team into this issue and being that guy. It's not a requirement, but man, it's starting to feel kind of like a requirement.
Absolutely. Being a media member right now, if you're not vaccinated, it's going to be hard to do your job if you're covering the NFL.
Right.
So it makes it almost impossible to do your job and do it at a high level. And especially if you're competing against other media members that are vaccinated, right? They're going to have more access to players than you will. So same thing there. But I just like that we know what the playing field is.
Yeah.
Okay, just
give
us the rules.
It's simple.
You can operate however you want to operate. This is America. You don't have to get it if you don't want to. But there will be consequences if you don't have it and you have a big outbreak that your team might have to forfeit a game or games, and that's fine. I'm good with that.
Yeah, and like I said, there are all sorts of things like this where you have to jump through whatever hoop is in front of you in order to do certain things. Hey, if you want to travel to certain countries, you have to get certain shots, that kind of thing. So it's not all that outside the realm, but given the political climate and the controversy, I guess, about it in terms of whether you get it or not get it and forcing people to get it, I'm sure this will be a hot button issue for sure.
Are you good? So you're good with the way that the NFL is doing it this year?
Yeah, I'm fine with it because I think it's clear cut. And I like that. I think if you open this
you know, Pandora's box of, hey, we're going to try and accommodate everybody. At some point, you're not going to be able to accommodate everybody. And then the people who got accommodated got an advantage over the people who didn't get accommodated.
And the Broncos didn't get accommodated last year. And Kendall Hinton had to play quarterback.
And that was unfair considering that
Cam Newton got accommodated, the Panthers got accommodated, and the Broncos got screwed again.
Right.
They
right.
had to lose their bye week. Remember how the players complaining about that?
Yep.
Like, oh my gosh, our bye week's gone. We're losing our bye week. Well, now you know you're not going to lose your bye week. And if you're not vaccinated, you're just going to lose the game.
Yeah.
And if you have a big outbreak. So I much prefer it this way than the other way where, this game's canceled. It's going to be played next Wednesday. This is going to be played next Friday, next Thursday. It's more structured. We know the rules that are in play, and it is what it is.
It's clear cut. It's simple. Is it 100% fair? No, but you're never going to come up with a rule or a policy that is going to be 100% fair, that can come up with every possible contingency where, you know, somebody, you know, wasn't out doing something stupid and wound up getting COVID and spread it to their team. Like, yeah, that could happen. But if you're trying to come up with a rule that you can apply to 32 teams that have, 100 people in the traveling party, probably between coaches and players and trainers and all that stuff, that's going to be 100% fair to everybody. It's mission impossible, so your best bet is just keep it simple and keep it uniform. I got no issue with it, and if a team ends up having to forfeit a game, they got nobody to blame but themselves this year.
That's right, and it'll happen. It'll happen.
For sure.
To some team, but we know the playing field now. The players do it. The organizations do, so there's no complaining about it, really. These are the rules. I mean, you don't always like the rules that you have to play by in life and whatever that you do, but at least you know them now. Last year was a little bit all over the place, and you felt like some, you know, Broncos were on the short end of the stick a few times there, and so this year it's pretty straightforward on what's at stake, what the consequences are, and at least we know. So I'm good with it.
If it's arbitrary, it has a chance to be fair for one team, unfair for another. I don't like that. So this cleans all of that up. It's not perfect by any means, but it's better than what they had a year ago. All right, hey, Soak, a controversial Denver sports tradition is returning in 2021 that is it's sure to ruffle some feathers. We'll tell you what it is, and we'll get your thoughts on it coming up next.
I'm in love with the
live from the Widget Castle Pines, side of today's stop on Michelob Ultra's Fan Golf Tour, presented by Superbook Sports and the GC Lounge. Here's Brandon Stokely and DenverFan.com's James Merrillack.
I'm in love with the
Stoke. I don't know if you caught the drive a couple of days ago. I think it was Tuesday. D-Mac mentioned that his birdies were chirping. He had a source giving him some inside information ahead of time. And then it's been confirmed because Von Miller on his Instagram, recently posted this message. Due to overwhelming demand, the Von Miller Halloween party is back. October 25th, 2021, all sports teams automatically invited. Rockies, Outlaws, Avalanche, Broncos. Funny you put the Broncos fourth. Rapids, Mammoth, Nuggets, and Barbarians. Everybody in town's invited. The Halloween party is back. Do you remember what happened the last time they had the Halloween party?
I do. Do you think there was an overwhelming demand?
No, I don't.
I don't think so either. I do remember.
But
yes.
For those that don't remember, it was the party that TMZ Sports said was cocaine-themed, which I think is inaccurate and unfair, but I think Brandon Marshall came as Bobby Brown, right? And he had a bag of powdered sugar. It was Emmanuel Sanders who came as the Dave Chappelle character, right? Yep. That had a cocaine theme to it. But that wasn't the worst part of the night. The worst part of the night was
it got worse.
Chad Kelly getting you know what faced,
beat over the head with a vacuum hose, right?
Getting kicked out of the party, stumbling into someone's house, and then getting attacked, rightfully so, with vacuum hose. His time with the Nuggets, or the Broncos, obviously, was then over. There had to be an emergency meeting the next day, and it was Elway and Ellis and the coaches, and Chad Kelly was sent packing. Do you think it's a good idea that the Von Miller Halloween party is back? Am I just the old curmudgeon, get off my lawn guy who thinks, why are you doing this? Why are you setting yourself up for this? The potential problems. Look, if they're, and I don't have the schedule in front of me, but October 25th, if they're 6-2 at the time or 5-3, okay, I think people will be fine with it. If you're 2-6
and you're having a Halloween party and guys are, you know, getting in trouble. Man, it just doesn't set up for being a good look.
No, listen. I mean, but why'd you throw guys getting in trouble?
Okay,
in
if you're too insistent just having a Halloween party.
Who cares?
So like, I am the old guy.
Yes, I mean, who cares in this situation? I mean, for me to say it's not a big deal, I think just should let you know it's not a big deal. I mean, so do you want these guys not to leave the house if they're 2-6? Where do you draw the line? Can they go to a movie?
Can they
go to a restaurant?
Yes.
Okay, can they go to the bar and have a cold beverage, or is that drawing the line there?
They can definitely do that.
Okay, they can go to the bar, but can they go to the club? Can they go to the club for one night? They can.
Yep.
So why can't they have one Halloween party? You can't let one situation where one guy, you know, got out of control, not now all of a sudden dictate that, hey, we can't have any more fun. We can't have another Halloween party anymore because Chad Kelly, you know, lost his mind. So, you know what? Hey, we have got to stay in our house for the whole year.
You're painting me as the anti-fun guy. I'm 180 degrees from the anti-fun guy. So, I don't want to get that label. Here's my issue with it. Vaughn's already putting it on Instagram, right? The last time around, the whole thing was just a big production. Remember, he was doing the Facebook show, and it was all for that. It was just all gather his social media stuff. So I have two issues with it. One, go have fun. I don't expect you to be a monk 6 days a week and then show up and play football. Like, not at all. I get it. They're young guys. They got money in their pockets. They want to go have fun. No problem. I would too, right? But do you have to be so public about it? And if you're 2-6, hey, here's our public party where we're out, you know, having a good time. Just go have a good time. You don't have to, you know, throw it in people's face.
So you just have a problem because it's public.
Yeah.
Not the party, just because it's public.
And because it shows, again, if it turns into, hey, this is all part of my production team and we're going to put it on Facebook, if you're 2-6, it's going to scream, I'm worried about the wrong things. If they're 6-2 and Von Miller has 10 sacks at that point in the season, nobody's going
to
care.
You have to plan these things. You can't wait till, okay, oh, hey, we're winning. We're 6-2. Let's get the party started now.
I think you just skip it. I think you go, look, we're coming out of a 5-11 season. We haven't been above 500 in 4 years. We haven't had this bad a stretch in this franchise since, you know, the 60s. It's just a bad look. It sets up for a bad look.
It's a bad look. Okay. It could set up for a bad look, certainly, but listen, get over it. They're not going to, you know, if everybody behaves to a certain degree, you're not going to lose games because you had a Halloween party. You're not going to lose games because you had fun. You know, it might be a good thing. Might be some team bonding. There might be positives there also, James, that you take from these kind of situations. We had Halloween parties when I was in Baltimore. Shannon Sharp kind of spearheaded that because I think he brought it from here. Yeah, we just happened to be pretty good, but nobody knew that beforehand, and it just kind of worked out that way for us. So, it's not a big deal, and either way, if you're winning or losing, you got to get out of your house and do things. You know, you're not going to be just staying inside your house if you're having a bad year. You still got to go out there and live your life. So I think perception-wise, certain people could look at it and say, you know, that's an awful look. What are you doing? Why are y'all acting like that? Why are y'all having fun when you're 2-6? But reality is, it's not a big deal. Get over it.
How many things are we going to chalk up to team bonding? Right? So it's, hey, we're going to skip OTAs and we're going to have a field day, team bonding.
I think they should have skipped 2 days of OTAs and had a 2-day bonding trip. Yes, that's very important.
We're going to have a Halloween party, team bonding. Like, it's like it's the go-to excuse for goofing around, team bonding. That's the new word. When my kids do things they shouldn't do and they get in trouble, I'm just going to tell them, just tell mom and I you were team bonding.
Right.
That's all.
That's all you have to do. You get a free pass.
Yeah.
It's like, you know what the other free pass is? And I probably shouldn't say this, but it's mental health.
Yeah.
Mental health. Yes. Like, hey, I'm working on my mental health.
Yep.
You get a free pass. Hey, James, I wish I knew that, you know, when I was playing, because I had a lot of mental health issues that I could have used.
Got to hit the golf course.
And gotten free passes. And I didn't know that was a go-to. But nowadays, that's a go-to. It's just like, if stuff is hitting the fan, it's just like,
my mental health is all screwed up. Yep. I got to get that. I got to work on that. So that's another free pass you got right there. Team bonding and mental health are the two things that you can go to and you get good free passes.
Here's the thing. So, you know, I'll say these things like a quarterback competition is a bad idea. And then months later, you and Zach will start saying it and forget that I said it like 7 months ago.
Definitely not true.
So here's my prediction. Is on Tuesday, October 26th.
Uh-huh.
If the Broncos are coming off a loss on the Thursday before at home against the Browns, fairly likely, and they got a big game coming up at home against the Washington football team on Halloween, you know, it'll tie nicely because they're going to play on Halloween, and they're just coming off of their Halloween party, and it's Von Miller. He's got 2.5 sacks at the midway point.
Mm-hmm.
They're 2-6.
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee you guys have a conversation about whether or not they should be having a Halloween party. At
we'll have a conversation about it, but I don't expect my stance to change. I don't. Right now, I don't think it's an issue. We'll see how the season's going. But certainly, look, guys, you know, are going to go out and, you know, whether it's a Halloween party, restaurant, club for a night. I mean, it's just as long as you're under control and in control and there's no extracurricular stuff like we saw last time that happened, just as long as everything is like it should be, then I really don't see an issue with it here, James. And I don't think you should look at the record and say because their record's here, yeah, it might be a bad look. But so what? There's a lot of things that are bad looks, but that can't stop you from living your life and enjoying your life. And, you know, sometimes it's good to get out and, like, you know, take a deep breath and, like, be able to exhale and, like, not just suffocate yourself inside all the time and just be depressed because, you know, what your team's losing. That also is a bad mental health thing, James. So you need team bonding, and you don't want to have bad mental health. So
I'm with you.
Go to the stinking Halloween party, and it kills. It feeds two birds with two scones, one scone, one of those pita deals.
I'm with you 100%. I just think it's a sign of bad leadership. Because I think a good leader, and I always use him as the example, but let's say you're in a rough patch. It's like, man, we need some team bonding. I think a guy like Peyton Manning puts together something, and it's totally under the radar. Nobody hears about it. It's not publicly known. It's not in the face of the fans that, hey, we're 2-6, and we're off having a good time. You can still do it. I think the fact that it's public, guarantee you it'll end up turning into some sort of social media production.
Sure, yeah.
That,
definitely,
to me, is just a sign of, you know what, you're worried about things other than football, and you're setting your team.
Do you have to just worry about nothing but football?
That's got to be your perception.
Yeah. No, it doesn't.
Yeah, it does.
You're not going to please everybody. You're not going to please everybody. So,
I think publicly you want people thinking you're only worried about football.
Yeah, but I disagree. If that's what people want you to be, just nothing but football 24/7.
They do. When you're coming off a 5-11 season.
I don't care what you're coming off of.
And you're 12-20 under Vic Fangio.
You can't operate like that. You can't live your life like that. There's got to be other things. You know, have you seen Giannis? He's like, I need to get away from basketball for my family. You know, family time.
Now, when he's got
the trophy. No. This was after game 5. You know, he's like, what are you going to do next? He's like, I'm going to get my body right. I got to go. Yeah, I got to get away from basketball. Sometimes you need to get away from your sport, and it helps you perform better. You can't just suffocate yourself 24/7 with football. And if you feel that way, you're just not a very educated fan.
No,
do you feel that way, James?
I don't feel that way. Just don't make it public. Michael Jordan, the greatest basketball player to ever lace him up, got heat because he went to Atlantic City between game 1 and game 2 against the Knicks.
Right.
And then they went out and they lost. And he got heat for it. Why?
That's the night before, James.
Why? Because it gave the perception
that
he was worried about
before.
Something other than basketball. And he's Michael Jordan. He's not playing on a team that, hey, if they get to 8-9 or 9-8, we're all going to be doing cartwheels down the street in front of us here. It's a bad look. It's a lack of leadership. It's setting themselves up to get in trouble.
I disagree. I think you're way off base. I don't think it's a big deal. Just if they behave and handle themselves the right way. You know, Michael Jordan went out the night before the game. That's totally different.
I'm going to just go ahead and put on my calendar on 10/26 that I'm coming on with you and Zach.
Okay,
talk about
perfect.
That.
Put that on the calendar and let's do it. And then you'll come around and you'll be spinning everything that I just said. I mean, hit us up. RamosLaw.com text line 303-713-1043. Whose side are you on here?
Side with the curmudgeon. All right, hey, so the name, image, and likeness campaign for college athletes is off to a blazing start. Are college athletes about to become just minor leaguers? We'll tell you the latest news and talk about that coming up next.
Live from the Weekend Castle Pines, site of today's stop on Michelob Ultra's Fan Golf Tour, presented by Superbook Sports and the GC Lounge. Here's Brandon Stokely and DenverFan.com's James Merrillat.
Stoke, I think I'm going to continue to be the old curmudgeon here.
More of it, huh?
Because the end of college football as we know it is upon us. The name, image, and likeness ruling that came down, what, a couple of weeks ago, a month ago, that allows college athletes to earn money off their name, image, and likeness is already starting to have an impact. It was reported this week that Alabama quarterback Bryce Young is potentially on his way to earning a seven-figure income this year.
I mean, who's paying him? I mean, who's ponying up? I mean, he's not getting national spots. I mean, I don't even know this guy. So there's no national spots. I mean, is Tuscaloosa throwing around that kind of money at that guy? I mean, where is he getting these deals from? Is it just more social media stuff? Like,
that we don't know. But Nick Saban said, our quarterback has approached ungodly numbers and he hasn't even played yet. If I told you what it is, it's almost seven figures. So,
Of course that does him good by saying that,
let
right?
Let people know, hey, if you come here,
high school recruits,
you
right?
Into.
Hey, you're the quarterback here. You know, you got a chance to make seven figures. He hadn't even played, so you know that might be one of those things where, you know, one of those fish stories.
It could be
a little bit,
but it also, man, this opens so many different cans of worms. All right, so if you're on that roster and you're doing all the same work as Bryce Young, who hasn't even played a down yet, and you're making nothing, or you're making 30 grand, aren't you going to be looking around going, well, why? He's making $1 million? I think that has some potential problem. But then I think in terms of just competitive balance, which there really is no competitive balance in college football anyway.
No.
You and I could not watch a college football game for 3 years, and still, if you gave us six choices, we'd nail the four teams that are in the playoffs, right? It's always Clemson, LSU, Alabama, Georgia, Notre Dame, and Ohio State.
There
who else
go.
Is it going to be?
That's good.
The six
yep.
teams. It's just pick the four that it's going to be. So there really isn't competitive balance anyway. But I just think this is going to make a bad situation in college football even worse, because you're just going to have, you know, the schools that have the deep pockets and the big donors, and they're willing to pony up this kind of money, paying, you know, they can pay Bryce Young $1 million to tweet about whatever they want.
Exactly.
And there you go.
I'm with you.
It's a bad setup.
We are in sync.
Finally.
Here, brother. We are step by step. Step in step, whatever
yep.
you want to say it. I hate it. Because, like you said, it makes the competitive balance of college football go, you know, to a whole nother level. And if you have a guy, a booster, that wants to win a championship, hey, this is what I'm going to do for your team.
Yeah.
You know, your starting quarterback is going to be guaranteed $1 million a year. So when you recruit these guys, you can let them know that, hey, if you end up being a starting quarterback, you're going to have a deal with this guy, and you promote his business on social media. You go do one meet and greet, maybe one autograph signing, and he's going to give you $2 million a year. And then, you know, you just go down the list. If you're a five-star recruit and you're coming here and you end up being a starter, we're going to give you $500,000, you know, to promote. I mean, there's just so many ways to navigate this thing that you say, man, the universities with big pocket boosters are going to be the ones that thrive in this situation, and everybody else is going to be kind of be left behind when it comes to competing at the highest of levels, and when it comes to recruiting, you know, the best players out of high school. You're not going to have a chance.
Yeah.
It's going to be, I mean, if you were a five-star recruit, James, I mean, you're looking around, you're going to go, yeah, you know, you want to go to the right university, but at the same time, if somebody says, hey, we're going to have a deal on the table for you for $1 million, and somebody
right.
else says, hey, we're only going to give you $500,000, you know, with our booster, where are you going to go?
Yeah.
You're gonna go get that million. You're 18 years old.
Yeah, you're going to go take the money, and I don't blame him. And look,
no,
I don't blame him. I'm happy for Bryce Young. And, you know, I guess in part, it's equitable. It's fair. It's what he can earn.
Sure.
He can go earn it. Here's what's going to happen, though. Here's the other long-term effect that I think people miss. The overall pot of money that is spent in on college football is not going to change. It's just going to get divided differently. So I'll just use this number because it's easy. It's not the actual one. But let's say there's $10 million that comes in from boosters to the University of Alabama, and most of it's because they love the football team, Roll Tide, and they give that money. Now $1 million of that is going directly to Bryce Young, and there's $9 million that's coming into the university. And then you start carving that up even more for other players. The money that comes to the school, yeah, it's donated because people love the football team, but it goes to the athletic program. It builds facilities that the basketball team uses, the cross-country team, the track team, the softball team. Everybody gets to use it.
Yes.
Now it just goes directly to Bryce Young. So that may be more fair. It may be more equitable. It may be more the American way in terms of capitalism. But I think in terms of college sports in general, it's going to have a huge, long-lasting impact that I don't think people have considered. Here's why I don't. I've never felt bad in all these big-time college athletes, and they got taken advantage of by the university. What was the deal that Trevor Lawrence just signed with the Jaguars?
Like 30-something guaranteed,
right? So did they make money off of his jersey at Clemson? Yeah, they also coached him up, right? Gave him a platform to display what he could do on a weekly basis and helped him become the number one pick in the draft. Like,
not a bad deal.
Pretty good internship.
And he probably ate really good.
Right.
Probably slept really good in the best of the best.
He
wasn't slumming around, you know, the University of Clemson over there.
Reggie Bush. Oh, what a raw deal. They should give him back his Heisman trophy.
They should give it back to him, James. They should.
Okay. Well, we're going to have to get back into that one. I got strong feelings on this. Reggie Bush. His net worth is $25 million. A lot of that is due to the fact that he played at USC, was on national TV, he played great, had these highlights, was part of that awesome national championship game, and he got picked, what, second overall by the Saints or whatever
like
it was?
Yeah.
Like, he got taken advantage of? Man, we should all be so fortunate to have $25 million dollar net worth.
I'm with you, you know, because I look at my situation, you know, and where I went to college and you know, what the dorms I slept in and the food that I ate, you know.
Right,
and
right.
These guys now in the situation they have, so more power to them. But I'm not sitting here, you know, looking at their situation and say, oh, man, y'all are getting screwed so bad in these situations. You know what you're signing up for.
Exactly.
If you don't want to do it, don't sign up for it.
There's never a kid on his national letter of intent signing day when they're all up there and they're picking a hat to put on with a frown on their face.
No.
Right? It's like the greatest day of their life.
Right. You get a free education. You get to go play on national TV and you get a chance to, you know, showcase yourself and go make a ton of money in the NFL. I don't see what's so wrong with that. Now, the NCAA did screw it up and they have only themselves to blame
without
in this
doubt.
Situation. So they're to blame also, but I'm not like crying because these kids, you know, got to live like a five-star treatment lifestyle there at the university, and it's not like they get so screwed in this situation. I mean, give me a break.
No, I'm 100% with you. The NCAA is to blame. It got too big, and they didn't get ahead of this.
That's right.
Carving out some money and you know, digging out a little bit so this question didn't come up as much. They are totally to blame. Hey, if you missed it today, our first drop of the Training Camp 50-50 Teddy versus Drew t-shirts was up in Thornton. It went great. They went quickly. The next one is tomorrow in Centennial at the Breaks Plus. You can head to denverfan.com/shirt and find the Breaks Plus t-shirt drop closest to you. Get the address for tomorrow's. We got a couple more of them coming up next week. You can check them out. But they're really cool shirts. I have one here, Stoke. Make sure you get them. It's Training Camp 50-50 Teddy versus Drew. All right. Training camp starts in 6 days. Speaking of Training Camp 50-50, what is our forecast of the quarterback timetable? We'll talk about that coming up next.
Live from the Widget Castle Pines, site of today's stop on Michelob Ultra's Fan Golf Tour, presented by Superbook Sports and the GC Lounge. Here's Brandon Stokely and DenverFan.com's James Marillac.
Stoke, you're throwing me a lot of curveballs here. You know, not to
by dominating,
not to go behind the scenes there, but you keep moving my sheets.
Well, because the brakes got switched, our clock got switched, and I'm not on it, so I'm trying to, you know, get the right time.
You're not just messing with me,
because I'm not messing with you.
I'm just filling guy.
No, I'm trying to figure out when we're supposed to.
Okay,
break.
All right. Well, I found it. I'm back on.
Okay,
I'm back on course. All right. Hey, Mike Kliss, our 9 News Broncos insider.
Kliss
joins us now, courtesy of Bet Rivers Sportsbook. Mike, how you doing this afternoon?
Doing pretty well, guys. How are you doing?
Doing well. Before the break, we talked a little bit about or teased the timeline for the quarterback battle. We've been hearing that, hey, that's going to go the entire preseason, all through camp. Is that a timeline you're buying into? You're hearing as well that this could go all the way through that third and final preseason game, or you think there's a chance it's shorter? What's your take on it?
Yeah, I think it'll be before the third preseason games. I think they'll make their determination. At least this is the way, you know, the Broncos seems like they've been in a few of these lately. You know, they give them each a preseason game. There's only three. You'd like to have your starter pick before preseason game three. So if you play him, you give him a test with the number one, and they can kind of work together before the regular season opener against the Giants on September 12th. So I think it'll be through training camp. They'll each get a start in preseason game number one against the Vikings and number two against the Seahawks. You know, my guess would be that Locke would get the first start and Bridgewater the second. Then make your determination, and whoever wins the job starts the third game against the Rams at Empire Field. That's my guess right now.
Mike, you know, Vic's been very cautious in training camp, in the couple training camps that he's been here. You know, when it comes to injuries and not getting guys injured. And now, you know, there's only three preseason games this year. Do you think that the starters play all three? I mean, this is new for everybody. It's been four forever. And now you got to try to navigate three of them. Do you think he takes the approach of playing all these guys for three preseason games, given his cautious approach the last couple years?
Well, the first year he was here, it struck me how much he was in pads during training camp. I think he was in pads like 13 straight days, 13 straight practices. He was really trying to instill a toughness and physicality in the team. Last year, everything was out of whack. There was no off season. Training camp started late. I don't think the first training camp practice was until mid-August. And so it was kind of a combination of that ramp up period and trying to get the team ready in a shortened amount of time. And, you know, you can make a case that maybe whatever the ramp up period was for the league and Coach Fangio, it didn't work out because the Broncos were pretty much sunk before the season started last year. You know, Von Miller and Cortland Sutton, both of those guys went down with injuries. Sutton's injury before the opener led to a season ending injury in week two, when he dropped that ball, got mad, chased after the guy who got the interception off his drop and tore up his ACL. So, and Von Miller, that was tough. Then Locke goes down in week two, Jarrell Casey in week three. I mean, the team was doomed from the start. And so, I do think that maybe he'll go a little easier, but I can see he has talked about his starting quarterbacks anyway, and I would think most of his regulars would follow suit in this, sure, that his quarterbacks are going to play more than other quarterbacks this preseason because there's competition. And, you know, Bridgewater hasn't been around the team. I think if they're leaning towards Bridgewater, I'm not – sure that they are, and they haven't tipped their hand, yes, but based on what the media is seeing, if Bridgewater is going to be your starting quarterback against the Giants, you got to give him some preseason reps. And, you know, Locke deserves a fair shake to see if he's made some growth and get him some preseason reps. So, yeah, injuries were a big part of the Broncos' demise last year, especially early. It'll be interesting to see how he balances that this year, because he does need – I think he feels like his starters need to play some with their quarterbacks. But at the same time, you can't – like you say, you can't overwork them. So,
KJ
Hamler's tearing up a hamstring again this year.
Right. I mean, my thing is, you know, you look at the situation and you look how cautious he was last year. Von got hurt. realizing that in injuries, how much they impacted last year. And he went from, it seemed like he got more cautious. And knowing that he can't have guys get injured, I think it's going to be interesting to see how he plays these guys this preseason because, of how the team got impacted so much last year. Plus, you know, on the flip side of it, you got to get your quarterback ready. You got to get one of these guys ready to go. And that means they got to play. So there's starters with them.
Yeah, there's more experience. There's more vets on defense than there is on offense. You know, Bradley Chubb, who's coming off ankle surgery, to me, it doesn't make sense to play him that first preseason game at Minnesota.
Sure.
I'm not even sure about Vaughn. You know, Vaughn in the past, what Vaughn's been doing is he's only been taking a couple series, at least before Vic got there, a couple series in the preseason. 2 years ago, Vic played him a little bit more. Last year, there was no preseason. So it'll be interesting to see how he plays Vaughn, Kareem Jackson. I don't think those guys need preseason reps, you know, based on the injury. And remember, the St. Louis Rams, they haven't played a starter since McVay's been their head coach. On offense, I think they need the reps. On defense, I think a lot of those guys could start and they'd still be ready for the season opener.
Hey, Mike, obviously the quarterback battle gets a lot of attention, rightfully so. You kind of look at the rest of the roster, and, you know, we maybe are a little too casual with it you can pencil in the other 21 starters. That may or may not turn out to be the case. But when we get down there for the first practice, other than quarterback, where are your eyes going to be looking? What battle is going to get your attention?
Well, a little bit at right tackle, although I think Bobby Massey is, you know, going to be the right tackle. Cam Fleming will get some reps. Calvin Anderson will get some reps. At center, it'll be, I don't think it'll be right away, but I think eventually, perhaps, Quinn Miners might mix in and compete with Lloyd Cushenberry at center. And it'll be interesting to see in the middle if Mike Purcell is ready to go. At the nose tackle along the front. But of course, they've got a million elite cornerbacks making big money. How are they going to shake that out? You know, with Darby, Fuller, Surtain, and Callahan. The way it ended, guys, with the mini camp and the OTAs, when they were finally all out there together, it was in staggered starts. Because Fuller didn't show up until the last OTA. But when there was one day, which was the second mini camp day, that all four of them were ready to go. And on that day, it was Fuller, Darby on the outside, and it was Callahan on the inside, and Surtain started with the second group. So, you know, I don't think that Surtain's going to be a second teamer all year. It'll be interesting to see how quick he moves up into the rotation.
Mike Kliss joined us. Last one for me, Mike. News came out today that COVID outbreaks could lead to forfeits. What'd you make of that? I thought about last year with the Broncos having to play Kendall Hinton. I thought about the last year when the Broncos had to, you know, navigate the Patriots outbreak and them moving the game, you know, from 1 week and then taking the Broncos bye week away. This year, it seems pretty clear cut to me that, you know what, if you have an outbreak and you can't field a team, You're gonna take an L, and they're gonna move on. And KKFN HD1 Longmont Denver. What do you think about that, Mike?
Just for the record, 157. Sorry, Mike. Sorry, I'm leading the day.
Yeah, that's good. I like all those official signals when I'm on here. I think it's more a threat than promise from the NFL.
You kind of hit on it.
The NFL is not going to get, you know, you only need what? You only need 12 players to field a team and play ball. The NFL is not going to get to such a crisis point of forfeiture. Look, this is the same league last year that made the Broncos play without a quarterback. I mean, there's the game must go on. That's the league stance out of all this. Now they are, making some big threats here. Basically, they're saying get vaccinated, and I've got mixed feelings on that being a pressuring players to get vaccinated. I got vaccinated because it's just more convenient in the world. Even though I have questions about everything, it's more convenient in the world if you have your vaccination card than you don't.
You're pretty much forced to get vaccinated. I mean, you wouldn't be able to do your job at the level that you want to do it at if you weren't vaccinated. Is that true or not?
Right. Exactly.
And that's an NFL player also. Right.
But I had my struggles with the vaccinations. I'm not sure, 10 years from now, are we going to look back and say that maybe they rolled out these vaccinations a little early? I don't know. I've got other people in my family who won't get the vaccination and they have strong beliefs as to why not. I guess I still fall under the category that vaccinations are a personal choice. The NFL memo today is saying there's no choice. And so that's why I think it's a little mixed. But, hey, if I was an NFL player and you just had this five-week deal and, you can get – if you're a bubble player, if you're not vaccinated, it's going to be tough for you to make it over a vaccinated player. That's the way it's
100%.
Set up right now.
Right.
You're right.
100%.
Yeah. Hey, yeah. Mike, final one for me. I thought we were done with the court proceedings and legal issues when it came to the Broncos ownership situation. And I thought this Edgar Kaiser situation was cleared up years ago, but I hear this is coming up again. They'll be back in court in September. What's the Reader's Digest version on that?
Yeah, it's a right of first refusal situation that Kaiser had when he sold the team to Pat Bowlen. And it's from what I understand, there's specific language as to when he can exercise, when he can trigger the ROFR. I wrote right of first refusal so much, I now call it ROFR. They're basically the Bowlen parties that own the team now, the companies, the partnerships are saying because Edgar Kaiser died in 2012. And because Pat Bowlen died in 2019, that the ROFRs no longer apply. They're asking for a judge. They're asking for the court to declare that they no longer apply. Kaiser did transfer his ROFR to a partnership, to a limited partnership. And their attorneys and executor sent a letter to the Broncos last year saying, hey, if you do go forward with the sale, remember we have this right of first refusal on 60.8% of the team. We'll see how that shakes out. The courts did not allow, Kaiser to have the, right of first refusal during the Elway potential sale in 1998. Yeah. And it also, the court ruled it doesn't apply to minority. So we'll see how this plays out. But, yeah, it's always something before, Joe Ellis and the gang want to move on with their eventual transition to the controlling owner.
Another day, another chapter in the drama, that's for sure. Hey, Mike, we really appreciate it. Looking forward to seeing you out there at camp next week, and enjoy the last kind of calm, quiet weekend here for a while.
Yep, we'll see you Tuesday, guys.
Thanks, right, Mike. There he goes. That was Mike Kliss, courtesy of Bet Rivers Sportsbook. A couple of things there, Stoke. I think he's right. I don't think the NFL will allow a team to forfeit a game because it's why they made the Broncos and the Saints play. They're TV contracts.
Yeah.
They have to deliver 272 regular season broadcasts. So CBS, NBC, Fox, ESPN, so everybody gets what they've paid billions and billions of dollars for. They're going to jump through every possible hoop, and they'll do anything they can to play those 272 games.
Well, yeah, of course they will, if it's feasible. But I'm not calling their bluff here. I'm not think they're bluffing. I think, look, if it comes to a point, now you're going to do everything possible to put a game on TV. It might be Kendall Hinton. playing quarterback.
Yeah.
It might be, you know, a backup wide receiver. But if you have an outbreak on your offensive line and there's 10 guys and you can't field an offensive line to go out there and compete, you'll take an L. And they also said, and I did read, that you might be on the hook for the money that is going to be lost on that game by not being, you know, televised. And so that organization will be on the hook for that also. So where they might have to pay, you know, money to
that's a big penalty.
Exactly.
A huge penalty.
So you're looking at, you know, the stakes being really high if you have to forfeit a game, and what the possibilities might be and the fines that you might incur and the restitution that you might have to pay back to the other team or the league or you know, wherever that money's going and whatever is lost by you not being able to play that football game on TV.
Yeah, and so I think that puts a ton of pressure on the teams to push guys to get vaccinated, which I think they want. Look, the Broncos are actually in a pretty good situation. I think they're one of the top teams, if not the top team. I think they're above 85%, so they're actually in a pretty good spot. But the other part of it that I thought was a good point, and this was right after you cheated to get the legal ID.
I did cheat.
Because you were a minute early.
I did cheat.
You couldn't?
I take it. I cheated to win, and I feel great about it. I don't care one bit. I wasn't going to lose to you today, James.
I was so ready, too.
I knew you were on it, and I wasn't going to take the loss today, so I just said, you know what? I got to cheat to win today, and I'm just going to break the rules, and I'm going to cheat today. So I just, that's what I did, and I feel great that I got
to
win.
You saw me click my phone to check the time,
didn't you? You clicked it like 4 times, and I said, I just can't let it happen.
Well, here's the other point that I thought was good. Technically, it's not a win if you cheat, but whatever.
Well, the Patriots still got Super Bowl rings,
right?
That's a good
point.
So,
that's
fair. They didn't get taken away.
If you're the Broncos, and I'm just going to use two names at random. I don't know if they're vaccinated or not vaccinated. And you're trying to make a final decision on who's our last offensive lineman.
Give me
Kendall Hinton
and another wide receiver.
Right.
Seth Williams.
Right, exactly.
How about these two guys?
And Kendall Hinton is vaccinated and Seth Williams isn't. And they're basically neck and neck.
Yes.
That's the tiebreaker.
It's not even close.
Right.
It's not even close. That's the tiebreaker, and that's the way it's going to be. And if you're one of these fringe players, you're like what we talked about with Mike Kliss. You know, how does a media member do their job if they're not vaccinated? It's almost impossible to do it at a very high level where other guys are getting access, media members are getting access that you're not able to get. Well, you know, when it comes down to making a football team, you got to look at that. If you're going to be a fringe player, you're not going to make the roster. You're not going to make the roster. Memo. You better be really good. So if you're not vaccinated, you won't make the roster if you're one of those players between 40 and 53. I'm just telling you. Why would you? I wouldn't put the guy on the roster.
No.
You can find, you know, 100 other guys that can be good special teams players or be backup players. And if it comes down to, you know, being vaccinated or not vaccinated, you're going to go with a vaccinated guy. And if you don't have a vaccinated guy on the team, you're going to cut them all, and then you'll pick up a vaccinated guy on somebody else's roster. So that's what's going to go down. And I don't blame them. You're looking out for your team. Do you want to forfeit games as an organization? Do you want to have to pay millions of dollars to the NFL because you had to forfeit a game because you had a bad outbreak? No, you don't. So, that's just what's going to happen.
You don't want to pay that price, and then you certainly don't want to pay that price because of the 52nd or 53rd guy on the roster.
Exactly.
Right? Like if it was, and again, I'm just hypothetical, but if it's Jerry Jeudy, he's making the team either way.
Right.
And if Jerry Jeudy causes the outbreak, he was worth the risk.
Right.
A guy that is, you know, basically interchangeable, and I don't mean that to be disparaging, but that's kind of the reality
of it.
It
is.
Every team's 53rd guy is kind of the same.
That's right.
You're just not going to take that risk. So I think that will have a major impact on how they evaluate those last, you know, what, 3, 4, 5, 6,
roster seven, eight, spots. 9, 10 guys. I think it's more than 3 or 4. I mean, when you look at the starters, I mean, what do you have? 22 starters, right?
Yeah.
And then you got
your
core special teams guys. And then outside of that, unless you have young, talented guys that, you know, you're projecting and you're looking forward to, your draft picks, obviously, if they're backups, you know, most of them are safe. But unless you have young, talented guys that you're really projecting could, you know, make an impact for you, those last 20-something guys, they're really replaceable. I mean, that's the bottom line. And, you know, it's how's their production? Does it outweigh the risk?
Does it outweigh the risk of having to forfeit games, having a huge outbreak, having to pay all these fines? And most of the time you'll come up with the answer that says, you know what, we can find a guy that's similar to this guy, and this guy's vaccinated, and that puts us at less of a risk, and that puts our threshold up higher percentage-wise of vaccinated players. Let's just go with that guy.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you and I could sit down right now, pull up the roster, and probably write down, whatever, 43 guys. There'll be some number where we know they're going to make the team.
Yep.
Unless they get hurt, they're going to be on the 53. It's everybody below that this really applies
to. That's it.
Because that's the one where it would be the tiebreaker. And yeah, I mean, to some extent, it's forcing them. It's not forcing them to get the vaccine. It's saying, if you want to be an NFL player, have to get the vaccine. That's it. Like, you're not going to go to jail. You're just going to have to go do something else for a living.
That's right.
That's kind of the way the NFL is going about this.
It is. You know, they're forcing your hand here if you're one of those fringe players. Coaches, same thing with coaches. How are you going to coach if you don't have the vaccine? Because, you know, you can't be around the players. How are you going to go to meetings? You can't if you don't have the vaccine. So same thing with the coaches. And administrators, general manager, all those people, I mean, they're kind of forced in a way to get the vaccine if they want to do their job. It's hard to do your job if you can't coach in a meeting, right? So that's just the way it is these days. And certainly the players, if you're one of those fringe types of players, you have to look at it and understand where you're at on the totem pole and you not getting vaccinated, how that will affect you making the football team or not making the football team.
Yeah, you know what? When you're in that spot, you always have to do the little things to try and give yourself an edge.
Yep.
If you're a smart, savvy guy in that spot of the roster, that would be – maybe it's not a little thing, but it's certainly something you could do to give yourself an edge. All right, there is a chance this year that, once again, the Broncos will have the highest-paid defense in the league. When you look at it on paper, does it shape up as a unit that seems to fit that that designation? We'll talk about that coming up next.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 104.3thefan.com.